Okay, fantastic. Good people. Welcome to tonight's New Breed Conference call with me, your host, Bishop Wayne Malcolm. We are live and direct on the New Breed call on this Wednesday night, and I'm very happy about those of you that are on the line, and we're going to share a thought with you. It's just a half hour of pure power, and it's going to be a blessing to you. Let me start by saying that we have now launched our Global Academy. It is live. Students are in there growing their skill sets, transforming their mindsets, developing their tool set for success and progress in their chosen field of labor. And you can test drive the Academy for free right now at ICANGlobalAcademy.com. That's ICANGlobalAcademy.com. And you can begin to test drive one of our courses. Tonight, I want to talk about a major key to success, a critical key to success, and one that is little known, seldom discussed, and seldom used. But it is a major key to success, and it has to do with the power of your language. So I want to start perhaps a little series on this. I want to deal with language, language patterns, and language protocols, and how they relate to success. Of course, language is the fundamental building block of a civilization. One second, I'm making a note. Yeah, I like this because I think this is going to become a course. So language is the fundamental building block of civilization. There is no civilization without language. There is no civilization without communication, without our ability to communicate. And what makes it possible for us to communicate is a shared set of meanings that we attach to sounds. I'll say it again. What makes it possible for us to communicate is a shared set of meanings that we give to sounds. So right now, I'm simply making sounds on the telephone, but because we agree as to the meaning of those sounds, we are able to communicate. And communication is a wonder, and very much differentiates mankind from other species, the fact that we're able to communicate in such complex ways. You know, communication is a wonder because communication and language allows me to take the thoughts that are in my mind and to deliver them to your mind. And likewise, when you're speaking to me, you are actually transferring your thoughts to my mind. And so we do this by communication, and communication is made possible by a language that we use. And the language that we use is comprised of sounds that have meanings, that we agree on the meanings of those sounds or the meanings of those words. And because we agree as to the meaning of the sound, then we have language, we have the basis for communication, we have the major building blocks of civilization. And that is the history and the origins of civilizations. Even in the Bible, what we see when the Bible talks about the origin of civilizations, okay, the Bible talks about the origins of human beings, but then it goes on to talk about the first civilizations. It talks about Nimrod and the Tower of Babel, and but it starts by saying that the earth, you know, the people of the world were one, and they had one language. And because they had one language, they were able to unite around a project because they were speaking this one language. And this one language that they all shared enabled them to be organized in terms of leadership and roles and responsibilities and tasks and goals and deadlines, and all that it takes to manage a project was possible because they were all speaking the same language. Now, we discover later that God himself confounded their languages. Okay, God confounded their language so that they didn't understand each other. And when they didn't understand each other, the project collapsed. So the project collapsed for the inability to communicate. You know, the same is true in a war. You know, whenever wars are taking place, the enemy's job or the defending army's job or the offending armies will always target any communication networks, because if they can prevent people from communicating with each other, then they can prevent them from coordinating their defenses or coordinating their efforts, and therefore they collapse. Jesus, in fact, said a house divided against itself is brought to desolation. So this is really a major key to success. It is the power of your language. And so what we see is that, every kingdom and every culture has its language, its set of sounds that have meanings. And these sounds are used for communication, for transferring thoughts. And every culture and kingdom has its unique language. This is certainly true geopolitically. You know, as we move from country to country, we start to be exposed to different languages. And our ability to navigate through those countries has a lot to do with our understanding of the language. And there are two sides to understanding a language. It's one thing to understand a language, it's another thing to use the language. But if you both understand it and can use it, then you can navigate through that territory with great ease. If you do not understand the language and cannot speak the language, then your navigation through that territory is going to be very difficult and is going to be disrupted. So we know this is true on a geopolitical level. We know that to move around the globe, it would be best to be versed in some key words that are used in different cultures. You know, if you were going to China, for example, it would be wise to understand a few key phrases in Mandarin. Or if you were, if you're going to a French-speaking country, it would be wise to have a few basic phrases in French so that you can move through the system. So we understand this on a geopolitical level, but what we don't often understand is the power of language on a socio-economic level, the power of language as you traffic through socio-economic kingdoms and through socio-economic cultures. And so when we look at the social and economic kingdoms and cultures of the world, we are now describing industry sectors and market segments and sectors. And what we see is that each one of these industry sectors are kingdoms or cultures that have unique language patterns. And in order to navigate through them, you have to both understand the language and be able to speak it. Even if it is a foreign language to you, it's not your native language, it's not what you grew up with, you have to learn that language and become fluent in that language in order to excel or succeed in that kingdom. So before I dive into this, let me just take us back a little bit to the geopolitical aspects of language and say that, you know, if you had a product that you wanted to bring to market and you said, okay, look, I want to bring it to Brazil, and but you didn't know any of the language, any Portuguese, or you didn't know the language. Your website was in English and had none of their native language in it, and you couldn't say hello or goodbye in that language. How far do you think you'd get with the product? Absolutely nowhere. Absolutely nowhere. The door is closed to that entire culture because you don't know the language. and they can see you coming. Now, you could dress like them. You may look like them. You may have a complexion that is familiar to that space. But the moment you open your mouth and or you express confusion at what is being said to you, the door to trade, the door to that market is firmly closed. The minute they go to your website and it's in English and there is no attempt to speak to the culture in its language, the door is closed. If, on the other hand, you're fluent in the language, your website has a version that is translated into their language, and you fluently speak it and understand it, you will find that that market is open to you. That market opens up to you simply because you know the language. Now, what I'm saying tonight is that this is a major key to success because the same principle holds true in social and economic kingdoms. Social and economic kingdoms. So let's talk about social kingdoms. For example, what we have in the United Kingdom here are various cultures and subcultures, okay? And there is, there are different subcultures. When you think of the young professionals that are working in the city, they are a subculture all by themselves. They have dress codes. They have preferred lifestyles. They entertain themselves in particular ways, and they speak a very particular language. When you look at urban culture, the urban subculture, you will find that these are kingdoms and these are systems all by themselves in which the people share dress codes, lifestyles, they entertain themselves in particular ways, and they speak a common language. So if you wanted to get into that kingdom and you wanted to have influence in that kingdom, or you wanted to bring something to that kingdom, you would have to learn the language and you would have to respect the culture. If you respect the culture and you learn the language, the door opens to you. If you don't respect the culture and you don't know the language, you don't know what is being said to you, and you don't know how to communicate in terms that they understand, then that door closes to you. It's easier to understand. Geopolitical kingdoms and social kingdoms, cultures and subcultures. But when it comes to economic kingdoms, we have not yet explored the power of language to open doors in economic kingdoms and to open doors to industry and to trade and to markets and to commerce and to productivity and prosperity. Language is a major key because in every economic sector, every center of economic activity is a kingdom that has its own language. And let's begin to deal with that. Let's begin to break that down. So when it comes to the government, for example, for the political class, and not just the central government, but local governments, right the way up to central governments, what you're going to find is that those people who belong to that political culture, that political kingdom, they speak a language, and it is, you could call it polities, okay? They speak fluent polities, and polities is often so disconnected to the language of the everyday people that they are seeking to represent that sometimes we look at these folks on TV, we listen to them on radio, and don't know what in the world they're talking about. But amongst themselves, they are using codes, they are using language patterns, they are using terminology that is resonating with each of them, and so they accept each other in that class. So there are folks who are saying, look, I want to go into politics, I want to make a difference, politically, but they are not versed in polities. They cannot speak polities, neither do they understand polities. So they are like the foreigner going into Brazil trying to retail a product when you don't know the language, the doors are closed. You're going to find that the doors will close on your political career if you do not commit to learning the language, and the door will open as you commit to learning the language. And I'm going to go into why that is the case. When we look at the accounting profession, the accounting profession, again, is a culture, a kingdom, or a system that has its own language. If you're going into that field, you would do well to study the culture of that kingdom, understand the history of the culture that is in that kingdom, and study the language of that kingdom and the language patterns of that kingdom so that you understand it and so that you are fluent in it. The same is true of the city and financial services. You know, if you get a chance to go into the city of London, and certainly into the Docklands area where there are financial services, banks are everywhere, what you're going to find is the people represent a culture, a system, a kingdom. They have a language, and that language is a barrier to those who do not know it, but it is a benefit to those who do know it. And so you can navigate your way through that world the more that you understand and are fluent in the language. This is a major key to success. I'm going to give you such a powerful key tonight. I think we're going to turn this into a course. So you look at the medical profession, you'll find that it is shrouded in language. You look at the legal profession, you'll find it is shrouded in language. When you look at the corporate world, at the director's level, you'll find it is shrouded in language. You'll find that senior management is a protected kingdom that is protected by its language. You are going to find that in the voluntary sector, there is a language. For example, if you took the church, the world of the church, and it depends on which stream and which flavor of Christianity, because Christianity is very, very diverse. But you're going to find that there is a culture, a kingdom, a system that is protected by its language. Access will be granted or denied based on how fluent you are with the language. The language will either open your language in that kingdom will either open the doors for you or it will close the doors upon you. This is true in the voluntary sector of the church world, but there are many other voluntary sector type organizations. And what you're going to find is that there is always a language that is the key that either opens the door to you or it closes a door to you. Now, most of us know this, all right? But what we don't know often is that each and every one of us has the power to grow our niche vocabulary. I'm going to say it again, to grow our niche vocabulary. What I mean by that is this, that we have the ability, unlike any other time in the history of the world, to develop our vocabulary in the area of our mission, our destiny, and our passion. And so a lot of people, their vocabulary is growing accidentally, and it is not growing deliberately. It's growing accidentally. It's growing because you're around people, because you're exposed to conversations that require you to come up to another level. And so accidentally and incidentally, you are developing your vocabulary and you're moving along at a natural pace. But if you want to accelerate your pace, if you want doors, more doors to open to you, if you want higher levels to become, to invite you higher, then the major key is to develop an advanced vocabulary in your field. I'm going to say it again. The major key is to develop an advanced vocabulary in your field. And let me explain why. So here goes. Words are sounds. Okay? Words are sounds that have meanings. In that respect, words are thoughts. They are thoughts expressed through sound. And when I am speaking to you, I am expressing my thoughts through sound. The words are then translated. When you hear them, they convert to a thought. They become a thought in your mind. So they pass through the air as a sound wave, but when they connect with your ear, they are converted to a thought, because we are have agreement as to the meanings of the sounds. Okay? That's quite technical, but words are thoughts. So guess what? Every time you learn a new word, what you have developed is a new thought. When you learn a new word, what you have actually developed is a new thought. And if you develop enough new words, if you learn enough new words, then it will expand and increase your ability to think about a situation. It will enable you to think a more complex sequence of thoughts. Your thoughts will become deeper, and they will become more complex in their sequence and in their depth, because you have new words to frame what you are thinking. So what happens is that people whose vocabulary is growing, their ability to think at a superior level is also growing. So the basic rule is that if you have an average vocabulary, you are going to think average thoughts. But if you have an advanced vocabulary, you're going to think advanced thoughts. I'm going to say it again. So the general rule is that if you have an average vocabulary, you're going to think average thoughts. But if you have an advanced vocabulary, you're going to think more advanced thoughts, because your words are your thoughts. And what is going to happen to you when you become a thinker, an advanced thinker in your field, is that the field is going to open up to you, because every field values thoughts over hands. I'll say again, every field values thought over hands. So if you bring to your industry a pair of hands, they will put a certain value on your pair of hands. In other words, if you bring manual labor, if you bring a technical ability, if you bring manpower, muscle, sweat, then a value will be placed on that. But if you bring mind power to the equation, if you bring advanced thinking to the equation, if you bring problem-solving genius to the equation, then guess what? There's another value that's going to be put on that. Do the math. All right? The value on an advanced mind is infinitely more than the value placed on muscle and on hands. So your job is to grow your vocabulary, and by doing that, take your thinking to another level, because these new words are going to enable you to think a more complex sequence of thoughts, and they're going to begin to differentiate you as a thinker and as a problem solver, and as someone who can get your mind around the moment. I don't know if you'll notice, but in subcultures where the vocabulary is small, you'll find people swear a lot. They swear a lot in any subculture where the vocabulary is limited. And these swear words are actually designed to express lots of feelings and emotions that they don't have words for. But you'll find that as someone's vocabulary gets bigger, as you move into subcultures where the vocabulary is broader, you will find that they are more likely to articulate the frustration that they are feeling. You know, they may still swear, but you won't find this obsessive ranting and displays of ignorance. It won't be like that. It will be much more controlled. Why are they more controlled? Because they have enough words to wrap their mind around what they're feeling and what is happening at that moment. And so this is a very, very important major key. So now I'm going to give you a major strategy. The major strategy is this, that in every field, there is a dictionary. You're going to find that there are dictionaries that exist in every field. There's not just the Oxford Dictionary of Basic English, but there are business dictionaries, and there are medical dictionaries, and there are accounting dictionaries, and there are dictionaries for everything, and you can look them up online. Now, if you committed to learning one new word a day, hear me now, one new word a day, then within a year, or in the space of a year, you would have learned 365 new words. I want you to know the average person is you know, may add 5 new words to their vocabulary in the course of a year, and may not add any new words to their vocabulary in the course of a year. In fact, their vocabulary may even start shrinking because they'll only use certain words within certain contexts. But if you were to add 365 new words to your vocabulary in a field, so for example, if you had 365 new business words, terms, and phrases in your vocabulary, in 1 year, you would become a business genius. You would become a thinking machine that is invaluable to the world of business. If you learn how to use those words in natural patterns and flow and rhythm and fluently, you would stand out as the kind of person that people wanted on your team. And you would have done it all by simply committing one new word to your vocabulary every day. Well, guess what? If you committed one new word a week, for 52 weeks, you would have 52 new words in your vocabulary of your field. And this would be one of the most powerful things that you could do to accelerate your career success. It is a major key to success, one new word. Learning what it means, learning how it's used, perhaps even the etymology, the origin and evolution of the word, and then weaving it into your own vocabulary. I suggest one a week to start with, and as you add new words to your vocabulary, you are going to become an absolute icon in your industry. So here's what I'm going to say to you in closing. One of the reasons why we have launched our academy is to put right the miseducation of the masses. There are things that we were not taught in school, subjects that were mysteriously missing from the curriculum. They are missing, not accidentally, but quite strategically and deliberately, to create a slave class. Well, God is calling you out of slavery, and he is calling you to mastery. He is raising up a new breed of leaders to lead in politics, in entrepreneurship, in education, entertainment, and ministry. He is calling for people to raise the game. And so our academy exists to train the next generation, a new breed of leaders. I want you to test drive the academy tonight. Go to icanglobalacademy.com. There you're going to see, once you sign up, you need to give it 2 or 3 hours before you will be activated. But once you're activated, you will have access to a free course, and you will begin to get a sense of what we mean by self-educating and growing yourself in the direction of your destiny. So do that tonight. There are limited spaces. And we would love to take you on our journey this year. We are training people to reign. We are developing them for dominion. And we are giving our very best, and not just a taster and a teaser, but our very best to our students throughout the course of this next year. So test drive it tonight, iCanGlobalAcademy.com. Sign up for a free test drive, and hopefully you will join us on the journey. God bless you, and good night.